2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3 says, For though we walk in the flesh, thank you, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. We talked about that pretty lengthy this morning and went to the book of Genesis. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. If you'll go back and think with me for a moment about Naaman, and when he went and he had the leprosy and he wanted it to be gone, and so he went to the priest about that. He thought it was going to be that way, and the Bible said, but you thought wrong. A thought is what? A thought is a mental conception. Isn't that right? And a mental conception, a thought, could be a misconception. It could be a misconceived idea. And so you and I, all of us, at some time or another, we have thought wrong. We have thought maybe how we wished it would be, how we thought it might be. Wouldn't you say that probably you have met people that you did not know before that particular time that thought you to be one way, and when they met you, they were surprised, and they had thought in their mind that you would be another way, or vice versa. But we're talking about our mental capacity, and our minds should be stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about who is it that wants our thought life? Who is it that wants your mind? Who is it that wants my mind? Well, we know that there are two that are after it. We know that God wants not some of you. God wants all of you. He does not want a portion of you. He wants everything about you. God is a jealous God. Now, the Bible teaches us that if I am a jealous person and you are a jealous person, then I'm not right with God. You're not right with God. If I'm jealous over another preacher, that's wrong. And if another preacher is jealous over me, that is wrong. So it's wrong for you and I to have any jealousy. But the Bible tells us plainly that God is a jealous God. Well, why is it that God says that I cannot be jealous, but he can be jealous? Well, that's easy. There's a good many preachers. There's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of teachers. There's a lot of musicians. There's a lot of singers. But there's only one God. He don't have any rivals at being God. And so God can be jealous because there's nobody else like him that can compare to him. So we're talking about our thought process, and I mentioned in closing this morning this, to come back tonight because we're going to talk about how the devil, how Satan himself can gain entrance into or unto our saved life, our Christian life. And we mentioned this morning that Satan already has the lost. And he doesn't have you. Ain't no way you can go to hell if you're saved by the grace of God, but he can mess up our testimony. And so how does he influence us? So, unguarded doors. Good question. How does the devil gain entrance into a child of God's thought life? He comes in, and he comes in through unguarded doors, doors that have been left open, doors that have not been guarded. And you remember this, and you know this from history. We've heard it over and over again about the Great Wall of China. It did not keep the enemy out. Not because the wall wasn't good. The wall was good. But all they had to do, all the enemy had to do was bribe the gatekeeper. And he left the gate open and the enemy came in. So I want to mention three unguarded doors through which Satan enters and corrupts the minds of God's children. Number one, if you're writing these things down, write this down. Number one, he gets in through a perverse mind. A perverse mind. Brother Brown, what would you say that is? A perverse mind is one who has unconfessed sins. You and I ought to have a very short list of unconfessed sin. When the Holy Spirit of God brings them up, we don't need to wait till the next prayer time. We don't need to wait till that next time. We need, when the Holy Spirit of God brings it up, we need to do it right now. And let me say this about unconfessed sins and sins that have not been dealt with. Satan will bring up, let me get my thought together here. Our sins are under the blood. Isn't that true? And I mentioned that this morning, that God sees us as saved. Amen? And so how many of you have ever had anything in your past that it has been brought up and been brought up and been brought up and been brought up? I listen to things all the time. I listen to preachers. I listen to what they say. Well, I had this happen, and I keep thinking about this thing over and over and over again. Well, my question is this: has it been confessed? And if that sin has been confessed, Brother Ben, tell me what has happened to it. You've been forgiven, right? And forgotten. And put in the sea of forgetfulness. And on and on and on. So if I go to God and I confess my sin, but my sin keeps coming up, God doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't do that. Who does that? Only Satan. He brings up sin that has been forgiven. He brings up sin that God has forgotten. And so if your sin is being brought up and defeating you in your Christian life that is in the past and it's under the blood, just make sure and know that that is not God. That is Satan defeating you. Amen? And so the perverse mind is unconfessed sin, harbored sin in any life is the devil's open door to defeat you. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. To the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4 and verse number 23 and down through verse number 27. Verse number 23 says this, and hang on to that word renewed. And be renewed in the spirit of your, say it with me, of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Now watch this. If I let the sun go down on my wrath, if I let the sun go down on my anger, then that is giving, that's just advertising. That's just saying to Satan, come on in my Christian life and take over my Christian life. Paul's thought is this. When any Christian allows the sun to set on his or her sin, he has given place to Satan. A place from which he has entrance and gain and will work. You say, Brother Brown, what is that akin to? It's akin to me and my wife going to bed tonight with the front and the back door open in the house and the lights on. It's like saying, just come on in. Here's where I am. You can come in and get what you want. And so that is an open door, an unguarded door. Don't do that. Guard it. So the devil's place of entry is unconfessed sin, which in the case that we're talking about here in Ephesians chapter 4 is anger. And unconfessed sin becomes a legal ground from which he will come in and judge you. And so have you given the enemy an easy access to your mind? And so your mind needs to be filled, we'll get to that later, but it needs to be filled with the Spirit of God. It needs to be controlled by God, not controlled by you, not controlled by me. It needs to be controlled by God Himself. Why? Because sin may be an attitude. Have you ever got up on the wrong side of the bed? Have you ever had a bad day? Have you ever had a bad attitude? It usually does not stay with the attitude. But the attitude's not good in itself. And so you got the attitude. And then what about bitterness? Bitterness is a place from which you can allow Satan to take over your Christian life. It'll destroy you. It will kill you. It will make you sick. I remember years ago, I had a man, something had come up. I don't have time. I don't want to tell you the whole story. But anyway, I'll tell you a little of it. He had divorced his wife. He wanted to marry a woman. And he learned, I didn't even tell him. He didn't come to me and ask me, so I didn't need to tell him whether or not I would do it. But I noticed that, and he was one of my church members at one time. And I remember every time I met him in the road, he almost went in the ditch. And I mean, I've never had anybody avoid me like he avoided me. And so I finally took all I could take, and I got up real early one morning about noon. And I'm just, no, I got up real early one morning, just about daylight, because his in-laws worked at this little country store, and I thought maybe... And his bride-to-be was supposed to be there. And I thought, I'm gonna go look him in the face. And so I got up that morning and I met him down there. And I mean, he coughed. Yeah, what you doing here? And I called his name. I said, Walter, I've got to talk to you. You are going to kill yourself trying to avoid me. And I'm tired of it. It doesn't make any... Wherever I get close to you, you run away from me. Please help me. I didn't even know what I just told you. And tell me what I have done to you. I said, the only way I can correct it, if I can, is you tell me about it. And he said, well, you wouldn't marry me and my wife. I said, Walter... When have you asked me? Well, I haven't. I said, well, go ask her and tell me when she asked me. I don't go around asking people if I can perform their weddings. That's just not something I do. And I said, I'm not a mind reader and nobody. Well, I asked somebody in the church and they said you wouldn't. I said, that's probably true. I said, but wouldn't it have been better if you had come to me and give me the benefit of the doubt and let me tell you what my convictions are? Wouldn't that have been better? At least afford me that opportunity and don't kill yourself by just avoiding me. And we solved that problem right then and there. I had the same thing with a funeral one time. One of my little old precious church members volunteered me, you remember Gail, volunteered me to do somebody's funeral. I didn't know, never seen them. And she goes up to, oh yeah, I got a preacher, he'd be glad to do your funeral. And that man didn't call me. And they had the funeral and I didn't show up. Why should I? I didn't even know them. I didn't know they were having a funeral. And that man called me, threatened to kill me, threatened to beat me. And so I know how you're supposed to do. So I got one of my men. I said, come on and go with me. He said, what we're going to do? I said, you'll find out when we get there. And I hate to deal with these kind of things. And so I went to that man and he said, I had called him on the phone after I found out before I went. And I told him I was coming and he said, don't do it. I said, well, I am. I'm coming. I'm going to look at you because I got something to say to you and you need to hear it. And I said, I am so sorry about your mother. I am. I said, I know. He told me, he said, we're here grieving and you hadn't even come to see us. So I went to him. You know, what did I have to do? I had to explain that somebody had volunteered me to do something. That doesn't work real good. And it don't get to you. But all of that stuff can cause bitterness and cause unforgiveness and that bitterness and that wrath and that malice, as well as an act, can get into your mind and can get into your heart and cause you a lot of pain. Now, turn with me, please, to the book of Romans. To the book of Romans in chapter number 13. Chapter number 13. And look at verse number 14, the last verse of Romans chapter number 13. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make. You see that word make? Make no provision for the flesh. In other words, don't put your flesh in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person or whatever. Don't do that. To fulfill the lust thereof. Your flesh and my flesh has many different desires. We even have desires that have been given to us by God. They are God-given desires. They are right by God if they're done right in the eyes of God and if they're controlled by the eyes of the God. But a lust that is just fulfilled from the flesh that isn't right by God, then we are allowing the devil to get his foot in the door. Amen? And so notice with me, secondly, here, not only do we have the perverse mind, I talked about that unconfessed sin mainly, and notice with me, secondly, tonight, this is the way Satan enters in to the Christian mind and thought process, which is another open door. Our minds are to be actively guarded. We are to guard it. We are to protect it, never wandering or passively neglecting. And Solomon said it. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. And verse number 23, Proverbs 4 and 23, Solomon said this. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so you and I are to keep it. You and I are to guard it. What does it mean to keep? It means to guard. It means to control. It means never to release it to anyone or anything other than the Lord God. In other words, I'm to keep it. I'm to protect it. I'm to guard my mind. I'm to fill my mind with the things of God. And I may have mentioned this here at some time in another preaching or another, but just suppose that this water bottle is my mind. Now, if my mind is fit, let's say the water is representing God, and so I've got my mind, I can still get 3 or 4 drops in here, but it's nearly full. I can fill this with this water representing God, and I can be safe. But if I have just half of it filled, then I've got room for something else to fill it. So it's important that we keep our minds in Christ Jesus. It's important that He controls my thought process. It's important that He controls your thought process. And if I keep it filled with the things of God, then I'm guarding it, then I'm keeping it, then I'm controlling it, so something else can't come and fill it. And I'll tell you who's going to want to fill it more than anybody else. My flesh. Your flesh. My own lust. Your own desires. Amen. And so, never release it to anyone or anything but the Lord. Now, I said the passive mind. Passive. To become passive is to become slack. In need of revival. In need of being refreshed, a passive mind. Look with me, please, to John chapter 13, verse number 2. Brother Brandon was there this morning, read it this morning. In verse number 2 of John 13, and supper being ended, the devil, notice that, having now put into, please tell me what those next three words are. To the what? To the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to do what? To betray him. Judas was doing what, Brother Brown? Judas was thinking Satan's thoughts. He will plant that into you. He will plant that into me if our mind is passive. In other words, it needs to be revived. It needs to be set on fire again. Can I ask you a question? Don't raise your hand. I don't want any commitment. Have you ever had a conviction? Have you ever been in church and God put a conviction on you and you decided from that point on, maybe you were in church and God convicted you about reading your Bible every day. Maybe God convicted you about memorizing Scripture in your Bible. Maybe God convicted you about your dress. Maybe He convicted you about your language. Anybody ever had anything like that happen while you were in church called a conviction? A passive mind who is one who has been convicted, got it right, know that it's right in the Word of God, but then you stop doing it. Now my question is this. Brother Mike, I'll ask you the question. Does God ever convict? Does God ever unconvict? Isn't it amazing how we go to revival, how we go to preaching, and we hear the Word of God, and we get under conviction, and we start doing things that we needed to be doing to begin with, and then all of a sudden we stop doing it, and when did God unconvict you? That's just a thought. Now, let me say something about Judas. Judas was not saved and then lost. Judas was a lost man. He was always lost. He always will be lost. He wasn't saved and needed to get saved again. Judas was void of a spiritual mind. But Satan has power to suggest things to the mind of a child of God. Now, he can't control you. He can't control me unless I give that up. But he would love to insert thinking in your mind and thinking in my mind. In other words, something, you know this to be true, something will inhabit an empty house. You ever gone into an empty house and swept away all the spiders and spider webs and the dirt that's in there that ain't supposed to be in there because it's empty? Even amusement can lead to a passive mind. Why? Because amuse really means to muse. And so to think, when we add a negative prefix, not, means not to think. And sometimes when we begin to muse, we kick our minds out of gear and we're not thinking. Has somebody ever asked you that question? What are you thinking about? Notice with me, thirdly, not only the passive mind, but notice with me, thirdly, the polluted mind. This is the way Satan gains interest into my thought process and into yours, a polluted mind. Another unguarded door, and we get the word from this and in this portion here, sorcery. Sorcery is a polluted mind. And that's something you say, well, Brother Brown, that's one thing I ain't ever played with was sorcery or witchcraft. But it comes from the Greek word pharmacia. Pharmacy. And the one who enchants and plays with sorcery is one who enchants and plays with drugs. And you've noticed it because you have problems. We're living in a world now, hardly anybody don't know somebody that's not enchanting and playing with drugs. And you know as well as I do when they are on the drugs, they are not in control. Sorcery is in control. Satan is in control. It is, the drugs is an instant insanity. They are insane. And it opens the door to be controlled by the enemy. Now let me say this, that is not just only street drugs. They're drugs that people are prescribed. And some of them are just not wise to take. I have to say this and admit it. I take probably 25 prescriptions, but I don't take any narcotics. I can get them. The VA will give them to me, but so far I've managed without it. Huh? I'm not bragging on me. I just don't want anything else controlling me but the Scripture and the Word of God and God Himself. That's who I want controlling me. and in my mind. What was Gene Bridges' daddy's name, Gail? Anyway, he's gone. He said, I don't drink for two reasons. He said, drinking will make you crazy. And he said, number two, I'm already crazy. Amen. And so I remember him saying that so years and years ago. And so, let me see where I was here. Number three, notice with me Satan's defeat. Do you think you can defeat him? You can. I can. Not yourself. Not in and of yourself. In and of ourselves, we're no match for him. But with the control of God and the Holy Spirit and the truth from the Word of God, we can defeat him. And we got to have our big brother, Jesus. And we can defeat him. Satan's defeat. Thank God it is possible for the child of God to defeat him. What am I trying to say? Notice 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5 again in our text. There is hope, and our hope is in our text verse. I'm not going to take time to read that again. According to Paul, there is victory for the child of God. But please notice, and I said this morning, and I'm going to repeat it, and I know I'm repeating it. Amen. I said it this morning, I want to repeat it tonight, that carnal weapons are not sufficient for the spiritual battle. Are you hearing me? You cannot defeat Satan with a carnal, fleshly weapon. The battle will never be won. Listen to me. I am for education. I'm not against education. But the battle that we're fighting will not be won by education. It will not be won by psychiatrists or psychology. It will not be won by positive thinking. Now, I believe that. And all of these things have their proper place. But you might as well throw snowballs at the enemy as to use a carnal weapon against Satan. And that would be yourself. I want to mention three weapons, and I'll be through, that are mighty. And they are your and my only hope. For the perverse mind, that's what we started with. What is it, Brother Brown? For unconfessed sin, there's not but one thing that'll work, and it's a spiritual weapon. Are you ready? Repentance. Repentance will work. It is a spiritual weapon. Jesus' last word to the church was not the Great Commission that we say so many times. His last word to the church was repent. Five out of the seven churches in Asia Minor, he said, repent. In Revelation 2 and 3, we are commanded to repent. Only one way to deal with the perverse mind, and that is, Brother Danny, we got to change it. How do we change it? Repent. I got saved in 1968. I wouldn't even want to sit down and discuss with you how I thought prior to 1968. It was not how I think tonight. Amen. I've clouded my mind since then and filled my mind with the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to say I'm thinking like He thinks, not like I did think. And repentance always leads to confession. And confession always leads to cleansing. And cleansing takes away given place to the devil. Revival. Oh, what a fresh breeze of the Spirit that sweeps through the mind. In modern Christianity, we talked about that in the prayer room tonight somewhat, does everything but repent. You cannot go to the modern Christian church and hear the word for the passive mind, slack in ease, there is resistance. James 4:7 tells us to resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Why should you resist? Because he will not yield up. He's not going to lay down, play possum. He is going to continue until God puts a stop to it. There's going to be a struggle. And without a struggle, anything or anybody, there's the stronghold. Let me ask you a question. Has there been some ground that you have taken and he's taken back? Has there been some ground that you have gained in your Christian life and now he has taken it back from you? So I'm saying tonight, take it back. Resisting. Repent. Don't let him have it. For the polluted mind, which is instant insanity. We already read the verses, but there has to be a renewal. Minds that have been abused and damaged and distorted can be made over new if we listen to the Spirit of God, renew, repent, and resist. This will be done when we focus our attention on Him. Now, please, turn with me to the book of Philippians. I'll close with this. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4, and verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and there is, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now let me tell you what you can't do. You cannot do, practice what you should be doing if you are practicing what you should not be doing. Does that make sense? And if you're thinking on these things, You cannot be thinking on the things of the world. You or I cannot think on two thoughts at the same time. When you start not thinking about this and starting on this, you got to leave this to think on this. Huh? That's the way we're made. So if I'm doing what I should be doing, I will not be doing what I should not be doing. Amen? Saturate your mind with the Word of God. I could say a lot more about that, but I'm going to stop right here. Do you see now how when we have been defeated, how we were defeated? We have to keep and control and to commit ourselves fully the Lord. If we don't, for one second, He'll take that place and defeat us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.